Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, let's talk about if you have been injured. You know, a lot of people get injured. It's always a nightmare for me whenever I'm driving next to a 16-wheeler. I like immediately will speed up and get past them, especially if I'm on, you know, headed back from Louisiana or headed out there and you're in those two lanes and you're up against a concrete barrier and it's like, oh my gosh, if they all they have to do is make a mistake and start drifting in this lane, I'm going to get smashed. And that actually happens to people. If you're on I-10 east at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's always a wreck somewhere. And, you know, if that were to happen to you, you could really face serious injury, not just your car getting demolished, but you could face serious injury, losing time at work, hospital bills, physical therapy, not to mention the pain and suffering that you could have for a long time. And you need somebody who is going to fight for you so that you get taken care of for a problem that was not yours, an injury that was not yours. If you have been injured due to someone else's negligence, whether on the job or just out in the roadways, a refinery blast, I don't care where it is, John Daspit and his lawyers are there to help you. They've got 70 lawyers in 10 different cities here in Texas, and they are the biggest firm that you're going to find here in the for personal injury here in the city of Houston, and one of the biggest in the entire state. And they will go that extra mile. They work overtime to make sure that you are taken care of. Call 713-322-HURT. Make sure that you call or give that number to someone that you may know who is going through this very issue right now. 713-322-HURT or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so just a couple of quick notes. Kevin mentioned Anthony Lynn. I don't think Anthony Lynn is going to be a consideration here. I think they're going to want somebody more. I think they're going to want an offense coordinator that is more aligned with the true Mike Shanahan / Kyle Shanahan coaching tree type of layered pass and attack play action game. And to that point, two names are being mentioned right now. Bobby Slowick, who is the 49ers passing game coordinator, and Troy Walters, who's the Bengals wide receiver coach. Obviously, you know, the Shanahan tree, we know how strong that's been. And then Troy Walters as a guy who has worked with in the building with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, the entire passing attack under Zach Taylor. That's going to be something that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if he's friends with Troy Walters. I don't know what the connection is there. But those are the two names that are being mentioned. And then, you know, from a defensive coordinator standpoint, I don't know that it matters. It matters. Troy Walters, let me see. I'm seeing right here, Troy Walters is 46, and he, as a player, played for the Vikings, Colts, Arizona Cardinals, and Detroit Lions as a coach. I'm trying to see if there's any connection to me. Oh, he's a wide receiver coach at A&M for a year. Now, I don't really – there's not a connection that I see with D'Amico Ryan. So somewhere along the line, I'm sure they have – cross paths and become friends, but he is somebody who is being mentioned right now as a potential offense coordinator as well. So something to keep an eye on. He was the offense coordinator at Nebraska in 2018-19.
Just got Frost.
Central Florida. Yeah, he was a Froster because he was there at Central Florida 16 and 17. Frost was there 16-17.
Yeah. He followed Scott Frost from UCF to Nebraska. So I'm not sure what Troy Walters' philosophy is, because it doesn't seem to align with what the 49er philosophy is. His only time as offensive coordinator was in a spread up tempo attack in college, and you would say maybe that was more of a Chip Kelly, Scott Frost offense as opposed to as a Troy Walters one. So I don't know. That's an interesting name only because you can't really clearly see what the attraction would be and why he's on the list. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get the job, what he actually believes in on offense.
It will be.
I know he is at least an accomplished wide receiver coach now. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Jamar Chase are really talented players, but that wide receiver core is probably the best in the league, and he's been coaching them for a couple of years. So is he an offensive coordinator in name, or will they have co-coordinators where he will be have his hand in the passing game with and wide receivers? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
There's a picture that has Cal, Hannah, Nick Caserio, and D'Amico. D'Amico is super – this is already my kind of guy. There's no jacket. There's no – he's just in an untucked shirt and looks like some, like, sweats as he is trying to be – I think D'Amico was in – I don't think they meant for it to – what happened probably is the press conference looked different. He went in there. He had a second interview. They're like, let's do this. Okay, let's do this. And let's go take a picture and we'll all throw up our H's. And so they've all got there, including Nick Caserio, who looks like he's wearing Everton blue. That's what it looks like, which would,
well, that would
be
explain
on brand.
The losing stuff.
Yeah, it would be on brand for what the record is. But so D'Amico Ryans is your head coach. Before we get back to the phone lines, well, let's get to the phone lines now. We'll hear from Wade Smith, former Texan, a little bit. And at 8:30, Steve McKinney will join us, and he is a guy who was teammates with D'Amico Ryans, and we'll hear what he's got to say about the Houston Texans' new head coach. Right now, let's see, we've got Brett. Brett is first up. Good morning, Brett. How are we doing? You there, Brett?
He's moving around, but no words are coming out.
Brett, get me a sausage biscuit. All right, no Brett. Brett will just have to we'll just have to figure things out. I can't talk to Julian. He's a San Francisco 49er fan. I got to get Texans fans. So let's get Roger. Let's get Roger, a Texans fan on here. What's up, Roger?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Great show. John really missed out on this one. As far as Texans fans and culture is concerned, I think you still got to approach this thing with some cautious optimism. I mean, yeah. That was a big grab to get D'Amico, but you know all they've done in 6 years just shows they have a small level of competency. So let's not push the cart before the horse just yet. We still have a lot of heavy lifting to do, but you know there is a flicker of hope now, which wasn't there in a long time. So still got to approach this thing, you know, kind of cautious. You know, see what kind of other pieces are going to put in place and then take it from there. But as far as diving all in, you still have to just kind of like throw the reins back just a little bit because it's still got Kyle McNair at the helm of this ship, and you know we just got to keep it for what it's worth. I'll hang up and listen to that.
Yeah, I totally understand, Roger. I just think the city of Houston, I think it's okay to let yourself go and just be excited and be happy and not cautiously optimistic. I mean, that's part of being a fan is just being excited about something. You've had nothing to be excited about. I get the cautious optimism. You know, I'm probably in that camp too by nature, but because I, you know, there's a lot of team building that has to be done, and hiring one head coach doesn't fix everything. But what it does do is it fixes culture. And I'll tell you this, Dale. I was talking to the guy who was going to be the general manager. There was a deal already done. There was a deal already done for a guy who was going to be the general manager for the Texans before Caserio. And he told me how everything went down. He told me his head coach was going to be, and it was going to be Jim Caldwell, which, by the way, is another black head coach. So the Cal McNair black head coach thing is that's dead. You may not like the way that David Culley was a placeholder. Yes, they wanted. Jack Easterby was very instrumental in getting Josh McCown a look. And Josh McCown was going to be the guy. It's been confirmed by multiple people, including people close to Josh McCown, since I've been down here. Josh McCown was going to be the guy. The Brian Flores lawsuit hit. They were too scared. And it was just Josh McCown because they believed highly in the personality of the person and all that. And he may end up being a really good coach, but he's got to coach somewhere first. He still is not a coach anywhere. He still has never coached. So that would have been a ridiculous hire from a standpoint of not a coach. So they hired Lovey. Lovey knew the deal. He knew he could be one and done. and that's why he got a contract that was very, very strong. I also heard yesterday the rumor is this: Lovie got rid of Jack Easterby. The rumor is that Jack got outside of his lane based on a player who's on the roster currently. He got outside of his lane and tried to carry the water, and Lovey's like, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. And that's the rumor, is that Lovie is the one who, Jack was warned to stay in his lane, and he didn't, and that's why he got. But Jim Caldwell was going to be the head coach for the Texans. And I ask about Jim Caldwell. I'm like, why does everyone loves Jim Caldwell? He's an older guy, black head coach, just for racial purposes, if that's important to you. But I said, why does everyone love Jim Caldwell? You know, he's had some success in the NFL, and I was told he's a culture changer. He is a guy who is you come away feeling better about yourself, better about life. Like, apparently he's unbelievable in a room talking to people. I've never seen it personally. I don't know. I haven't spent any time around him. He's never been the head coach of any of my teams, so I don't know. But this whole thing was about culture, and everyone knew the Texans needed their culture changed. Well, D'Amico Ryans is a culture changer. I don't know if he'll be successful as a head coach, but I can promise you this: the locker room is going to be different. There will be leadership. There will be accountability. There will be – and D'Amico, there's talk about him coaching the Rockets too.
No, so there isn't.
It's been brought up just now.
See,
so there's a lot of talk. There's some talk. There's been some – they're saying.
Been no,
some people
no,
are saying.
No, there is no people. That's you there, making that up.
It's being said right now.
No, it isn't.
D'Amico Ryans could maybe take over for Steven Silas just to finish out the year.
Feels like you're making that up. I think all those things you just laid out about it would have been Josh McCown and even Jim Caldwell, which doesn't excite anyone, are the reasons why the scar tissue remains, and I don't expect people just to scrape that away because D'Amico is here. Because you know what? There's still one person left of that three-headed dopey dragon. Easterby is gone.
Bill O'Brien is gone. Three-headed dopey dragon? We're not using that as a hashtag.
You've seen that
for
picture, right, where you got the King Ghidorah dragon, and you've got the two menacing ones, and then there's that one goofy, googly-eyed one dragon that's there.
Oh, yeah, I think I have.
Well, all of them are that. You have Easterby, Bill O'Brien, and Caserio still remains. And if Caserio was in on Josh McCown and was all in on that hire, then that's why people should be like, you know what? Great, D'Amico's here. But if Nick Caserio remains and Cal was rubber stamping that hire of Josh McCown, then I'm not going to get all in because there's still some issues. Look, we got to go to break. But if it becomes where Cal takes a back seat and it becomes more of Hannah McNair's show, which some people are saying is possible, if the Texans can get to replacement level as far as their owner's concerned, where not great, not terrible, like not actively sabotaging the franchise, then I think positivity can remain. But if Cal McNair still has his hands in the mix and those two brains came together to decide that Josh McCown should be the coach, then I think people should have some caution.
I just want you to acknowledge the fact – well, my cough's getting good today.
Yeah,
I want you to acknowledge the fact that this is the only organization in the history of professional sports where it feels like an entire fan base says, man, I hope the owner's wife gets involved and stays more involved.
Yes, yeah, that is not true.
Have you
the
ever
case.
Heard of that in the ever in the existence of any sport?
Never.
Man, I hope the owner's wife starts to take on a little more of a role, but that's actually happening, and it's done without any sarcasm.
No.
It's done without any irony. It's people actually believing that.
In a world where women are generally asked, like, just because this is how it's always been, generally, to stay out of sports. Hey, we don't want this woman in sports. Cal has been so bad that an entire city's like, you know what? Maybe. Hey, let's see what Hannah thinks. We don't even know the wives of all the other owners. Do you think anyone in New England is like, hey, can Robert Kraft's, let's say inappropriately, younger wife, are they asking her to get involved in the process? Nobody's saying that.
Nobody's saying that. No one was saying, when is Les Alexander's wife, the PETA lady, going to be more involved with the basketball team?
Never.
They did help change some of the basketballs, I think, to something synthetic, and all the players are like, this is the stupidest thing ever.
Did it get that right. Media manager fired, too?
Yeah, I think because he wanted to shoot the horse with a fake gun or
whatever.
The
Rockets are eliminating the Mavericks.
God, pathetic. Let's break it right now. 713-780-3776. Cautious optimism or just dive right off the board, the diving board into the pool of optimism with D'Amico Ryans. Which one are you? 713-780-3776. I'm very optimistic when it comes to saving money with homeowners insurance because I've done it twice, two different times. I've used TJS Insurance to find my homeowners insurance. Now, you know, one year they switched me over. And they've got a multitude of A-rated insurance companies. You know, the biggest names are the ones who advertise the most, but a lot of them use the underwriters that are A-rated companies, and you just pay the middleman. You're getting directly to the source now. What TGS Insurance does is you text the word money to 232323, and they are able to connect you very, very quickly, within 15 seconds, with the best competitive rate from any of those A-rated companies because of the algorithm that they have on the back end of their system. It's really simple. Text the word money to 232323, and within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote, and you have a real chance to save money. And sometimes, you know, you'll get with that company, and the very next year, you end up staying with that company for another year. But if you stay with the same company for multiple years, they raise the rates on you, and you really have to start shopping for competitive rates to start saving yourself money and reset the market on what people are charging you. TGS Insurance can help you do that. Text the word money to 232323.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
What?
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 713-780-3776. Lance Zierlein here, and Dell is in studio. I'm in Mobile, Alabama. And I have a chance to catch up with DeMarvion Overshown. Hopefully I'll get some of that sound to RJ and we can hear from him. Although it's evergreen, I could end up playing it tomorrow. I'll talk to Max Dugan for a little bit. Tank Dell showed up at 163 pounds. Talked to a scout who has this area yesterday, and he told me Tank plays in the 150s. I'm just telling you now, if that's out there on him, and he's a really good player. Like, they couldn't cover him. No one can cover Tank Dell. They can't cover him in games. You can't cover him in practice here. You can't cover Tank Dell from University of Houston man-to-man. But I'm just here to tell you now, if teams believe he played in the 150s, which supposedly he did, and if the highest he can get to is 163 pounds is what he weighed in here in Mobile, it's a problem. It's a problem. I think he has second-round talent. I think he slides to the fourth because of his size. But, you know, if he runs, like Tutu Atwell got drafted early, but Tutu's just been a guy over there. I think he was overdrafted, and I thought so at the time. And I thought he was more of a fifth-round pick. He got taken in the second. Jalen Darden from North Texas. These are small, fast guys. But, you know, what hurts is Pittsburgh drafted, from Memphis last year. The Steelers drafted him in the third round, a guy who, my friend's his agent, but Calvin Austin. He was in the 170s, and he's tough. I mean, this kid is a tough, tough kid, good blocker. But Calvin Austin got hurt, and he had a hard time coming back. And I talked to somebody from the Steelers yesterday who said, we just, you know, little guys get hurt. That's the problem. We were talking about Tank Dell, and I brought up Tank Dell to this guy, and this guy from the Steelers said, we drafted Calvin Austin, who we love, but Calvin Austin got hurt, and we couldn't keep him healthy, and little guys get hurt. You know, and that gets to the point about Bryce Young, guys who are small for their positions. That's the concern around NFL circles, is that little guys get hurt, and if you can't play, no matter how talented you are, if you can't stay on the field, it's a problem. If you're a quarterback and you don't stay on the field, it's a major, major concern, because quarterbacks are probably the most important position of literally anybody in any sport, more so than a starting pitcher. You have five starting pitchers. In basketball, your lead scorer, you know, it's very, very important, but you also have roster construction where you have more than one guy that can score. If you don't have a quarterback, you're done. You're done as a team. You can't win without a quarterback unless you miraculously pull a Brock Purdy, and that's because you also have a great offensive scheme. So that's just a little something about Tank. Let's get a call in here right now. Let's get TB in here. Wants to talk Texans. What's up, TB?
Hey,
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, man?
I am a quick intake.
Yep.
Real quick about this D'Amico Ryan. And like you said, and I think like you really speak for a lot of Houstonians, is we're real happy with optimistic, as you say. It's like we know what we're going to get. Real quick, it's like we know what he's going to bring. He's going to bring people together. He's going to bring these guys together. He's a football guy, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't take much for the ownership to make this fall apart like they do every year. And that's what we worried about. It ain't the players most of the time when we get these great teams put together, we start winning games. It's like, God dang, right? As soon as we start looking good, what always happens? Up-top decision to make everything go bad. That's just my personal opinion. But, yeah, I really believe that D'Amico Ryans is going to be one of the best coaches that Texans ever had because everybody's going to love what he's going to bring to the table. And I got one question for y'all. Can I ask a quick question
to
y'all guys real quick?
Yeah.
Why do y'all keep bringing up the debate about LeBron's and the Jordans and the Kobe's and Jordans? No, because I got a quick question.
Well, it's kind of like a joke the last 2 days because it's kind of the joke of radio. Like, that's a lazy thing. You bring that up and let people fight about it. So it's kind of been a joke is what we're doing. I mean, I'm an MJ guy, but it's kind of a joke. Yeah.
My question is, who would you rather have, 18-year-old LeBron or 18-year-old Jordan? And then you skip up. A 23-year-old Jordan or a 23-year-old LeBron. You skip up a 28-year-old LeBron or a 28-year-old Jordan. All I'm getting at is the evolution of the game has changed so much. These guys are just better. They're better at basketball. But Jordan he was the best thing happening in the 90s, in the late 80s. But these guys, as basketball guys, they were better than this guy. Kobe was 17 playing in NBA Summer League.
Jordan Kobe also had JV like that's TB. We're running late. We got Steve McKinney coming up in 3 minutes. I see your face on Twitch, Dell. I'm watching Twitch. So I can see your face and I can see what you look like. And I saw you take your headphones off. Hopefully it's because your ear was itching or whatever. But I saw your response and your reaction. Okay.
My hope was that TB was going to be like, that's a stupid thing. Why are we always talking about this?
That's what
I felt was coming. And then when it came to let's actually have a discussion about eras and 80s and age and who would you rather have, I had to take my headphones off.
You don't have to get so upset. No, that's a great topic.
It's a great topic. You know what you're trying to incite again, right? You're not slick. I know what you're doing. Hey, you know what you should do?
He made some really good points.
When Jay Williams joins us at 9:30, a former Bull, by the way, you can have that discussion with him, and I'll go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's fair.
You'll do that, I'll go to Chick-fil-A. But coming up next, we got Steve McKinney.
All right, Steve McKinney coming up next, former Texan and a teammate of D'Amico Ryans. I'm telling you about Underdog Fantasy. D'Amico was the underdog at one point. You are the underdog every time you step into the fantasy arena, right? But you don't have to be. With Underdog Fantasy, download the app. It's a really cool layout, cool design. I've used all the different layouts, and there's some of them that I don't know, they're just not pleasing on the front end. I love the I think it's called the UX. You see how savvy I am with computer stuff. It's called the UX. The design on the front end is really, really good. But besides the fact that I love the color scheme and the design, it's just a lot of fun. You can draft your teams every single night for basketball. They do it for golf. They do it for hockey. You can draft teams and be in larger drafts. You can do individual drafts where you go head-to-head against somebody. Or you can play the pick 'em contest, which is going to be amazing for the big game. You can also tie up the big game, some of the highs and lows where they'll have a statistic on a player and you say it's either going to get higher than that number or lower than that number. And you can do the same thing with some of the basketball games. You can tie them all together. But here's the great thing. You pick anywhere between 2 and 5, and there's multipliers that go with it. So if you hit 2 of them, you still get paid 3-1 on your original play. If you hit all 5, you get paid 20-1 for hitting five highs and lows. I've done it twice since I've been with them, and it is a sweet, sweet feeling. Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance. They will match up to $100 of your first deposit. So why would you not download the app and use promo code Lance and have up to $100 deposited in your account? They'll match your deposit. That's all you have to do. Make sure that you go with Underdog Fantasy, but you must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You gotta...
The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, we're going to give the guy a break. John Granato's out of town in, I don't know where he is right now, maybe Spain or whatever. But John's living the life. So joining us right now is one of his, I don't want to say archenemies, just kind of a character foil, Steve McKinney. Because John would be taking shots at Steve, and Steve would fire back. And that's what we used to do when we were at 610, and we had the inside skinny with Steve McKinney for all those years. And Steve McKinney joins us right now. He really is skinny Steve McKinney now. But Steve, we wanted to get you on the show. This is a pretty cool moment for Texans fans. This is probably the most excited that they could possibly be, because they have a head coach that everyone in the city wanted. He's a young, vibrant guy. He's a guy who is known as being a real team leader and team captain kind of guy. He's a former Houston Texan during, you know, the good years. And you're somebody who played with D'Amico Ryans. Can you give us insight into when D'Amico got there as a rookie and what his personality is like?
Yeah, first of all, Lance, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I am. Thanks, Steve.
Good to talk to you, buddy. It's been a while. But, yeah, you know, D'Amico, first of all, I remember when he came in back in 06, and you could tell right away. I mean, the kid was he was a professional. And a lot of times you see rookies, it takes them a couple of years to figure things out in the NFL and realize, hey, this is a job. You got to be professional. You got to do what you need to do to be your best on and off the field. And you could tell from day one that he was one of those kids that was just very mature, had his stuff together. Easy guy to like, you know, just, you know, good, solid personality, high character guy. You could tell right away that he was going to be a leader on the team. I mean, even as a rookie, he was the leader on the defense, or at least one of them. So, and that's saying a lot for a rookie. But, you know, he quickly morphed into the captain of that defense pretty quick. And, you know, a very respected guy in the locker room. Has gone on and become just really a outstanding football coach, which can be a tough transition for a lot of former players. But, you know, he's been very successful, because the thing you learn about coaching, Lance, as you know, is it's not just about being a good football player and being a good locker room guy. It's about understanding the X's and O's. And
yep.
And he's a guy that really, really got it. You know, he studied the game. He understands offenses and defenses and just a real student of the game to go along with his leadership skills. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the hire. Makes it real easy to root for him and the Texans. So, I'm pumped. They did it right this time.
Hey, what's it been like for you as a former Texan, who you saw the excitement, the energy? Like, for people who weren't here in Houston, 2002, the city of Houston gets pro football back, and the very first game they play the Cowboys, and they beat the Cowboys 19-10. And I'm telling you, it was unlike anything I had seen. The tailgates, the atmosphere, fans were all in for a team they really didn't know. It was comprised of players, you know, from different teams. Now, there was some talent, certainly, especially on the defensive side. They really drafted some talent, including Aaron Glenn, who is, you know, eventually one day going to be a head coach in the NFL as well. But what is it like for you to go from that era to what you've seen? I don't even know how closely you pay attention to it, but it's been blah, and it's been blah for a while. Even when they were winning with Bill O'Brien, there was something that was missing. As a former player, does this give you the juice too to kind of get back into the team? Does that happen with you also?
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're fans just like anybody else. You know, it's a little different in the NFL. It's sometimes hard for former players to have a favorite NFL team that you know are really passionate about, just because 99.9% of us, you know, get cut at some point. Nobody rarely goes out on their own terms. So, you know, there's always just a little bit of that left in you. It's not like college. But I've always been a big Texans fan, always rooted for them. But yeah, these last few years have been rough, man. And you're right. You know, just when you go into the season not really feeling like you have the team to compete for a playoff run or a championship, it makes it hard to get real passionate about it. You know when you have the roster to go out and really compete, and we just haven't had that in the last few years. And you know, who do you point the finger at for that? I mean, you have, you know, the players can't control, you know, what the roster looks like. So if you don't feel like the team's doing their best to bring in the right people to actually win, you know, passion starts to fade. And I think this hire, you know, shows that you know, they're serious about winning, and they're gonna do what it takes. And we'll see what they do in the offseason. But generally, when you bring in a new head coach, you know, new players follow. So it'll be interesting to watch how this goes.
Steve, the Texans are at the start of another reset. You joined two organizations at the start of theirs, drafted the same year Peyton Manning was with the Colts. Lance talked about your time when the Texans started. Can a coach change the culture? Because that's what people who aren't all in on this are talking about, the ownership. You talked about a coach can't pick the players. This is about the executives. Do you think just hiring a coach can change everything, or do more changes need to be made?
Well, I think there's probably more changes that need to be made. I mean, if you hire maybe a seasoned coach with, you know, a lot of NFL experience and, you know, bringing his whole team already with him and has his front office type guys that he wants to bring in with him, you can see immediate change. You know, with the first-time head football coach, I mean, I think we're going to have a little patience. I mean, he signed a 6-year deal, which I think shows that the Texans are committed to giving him the time to get things on the right track. So that's the positive sign. You know, what that looks like next year, I don't know. I do know that it's going to be a rebuilding year. You know, we got to bring in some new talent, and, you know, we got the second pick in the draft. We'll see where they go there. My guess is it'd be quarterback, but who's to say? I think that with a new head coach, a new quarterback, you bring a lot of excitement, a lot of energy back into the NRG Stadium. Some much-needed energy, by the way, because if you've been to a game the last couple of years, not been a lot of energy there. But like I said earlier, you know, you got to give fans hope. You got to give them something to root for and something to believe in, and then hopefully that's what this hire will do.
Yeah, and it's there's some interesting things that I'm like curious about. So who were your coaches? You had Tony Dungy? Who did you have in Indianapolis?
In Indianapolis, I just had Jim Mora. I left, right? I was an unrestricted free agent after.
Oh, that's right.
Jim Mora. And then, you know, I think, Tony Dungy came in after that. And, you know, he changed the culture a little bit for sure. I mean, Jim Mora's a good football coach, and he was a real tough-nosed, I wouldn't call him a player's coach. You know, more of the hard nose, you know, run full speed into a wall type mentality. But that's what we needed. And he got things turned around. I mean, we went from 3-13 to 13-3 in 1 year. So it can be done. But then Tony Dungy came in with a different type of culture, you know, and a really team, really players coach mentality, and a really, you know, tight knit family type atmosphere feeling. And you saw what happened with the Colts from there, and it really took off. And I think DeMeco Ryans would be more in that vein, more of a player's coach, a guy that's going to really, really hold people accountable and expect the team to hold each other accountable and build that kind of family feeling in the locker room, which you got to have, man. If you want to win championships, you got to have everybody rowing the boat together, everybody pulling their weight and holding each other accountable when they don't. And that's where championships come from.
And I think that's not, you know, we make a big deal about that with the Rockets because we just don't see that with the Rockets. And that's why the accountable holding each other. People who have never been around sports may they may really diminish that. They just think it's about talent and everything's like an NBA 2K or a Madden video game where you just have everyone has their individual grades and scores, and it's just you just try to get the most talent. But nothing could be further from the truth. And I mean, and it's funny because we have the Astros right here, and yes, they're very talented, but I think sometimes we overlook culture in a locker room and how guys like each other and pulling together and wanting to do something for the brotherhood of more than one, doing something that's bigger than yourself and doing it for the group is like a really, and in football, that's, you have to do that. There has to be a certain element. Yeah, you'll have individual players sometimes, and that usually happens at the cornerback and wide receiver position, but certainly not offensive line. I mean, offensive line has to be family. You have to be on the same page. But I do I think people sometimes diminish the fact that getting people all on the same page and creating a culture where there's sameness of, and it starts, Steve, at the top. Like, it starts at least with the general manager. It's got to start in the front office, and it's, and you know, and that's a separate one, but everyone in the building needs to be on the same page. And that's something this organization, from, I think from the beginning, there have been issues with keeping a sustainable, we're all headed in the same direction, rowing the boat together. I think that's been missing from the Texans, and hopefully they can get it going now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's 100% right. You can have the most talented roster in the NFL, but if guys are not playing for each other and they're only playing for a contract or playing for themselves, you may have a good team, but you're not going to win championships. You know, you got to get the me mentality out of the locker room, and that's the bottom line. And D'Amico is definitely never a me type of guy. He was always a team guy, and he'll bring that same culture to the Texans, and it may take a couple of years to really seed that culture in, because you can't change a culture overnight. You know, it didn't get like this in one day. It's not going to get fixed in a day. So give him some time, and I promise you, you'll see some good results. We just need to, you know, the fans just need to get behind and support the team. And you know, teams perform better when the fans are into it. That's proven. You know, when you go and you walk, come out into the stadium and it's full and the fans are excited, you play better. You know, it's like when we beat the Cowboys that first game. Cowboys were a better team than us. We shouldn't have beat them. But there was so much energy and excitement in that stadium that, you know, everybody was playing above their level that they would normally play at. And you see the results on the field. We got to get that same type of energy back in the NRG. And, you know, it starts with the hiring of a head football coach and, you know, the quarterback and the fans getting back energized.
All this football stuff and D'Amico stuff is fine, but now is the time that I pretend to be John and yell at you about not bringing in food and being lazy. Do I do that now, or do
are you?
You wait a
no,
couple
you're
minutes?
So. Yeah, no, you do that around the end of the call. Yeah, that's okay. When John. Well, John. Well, usually you do it early in the call, and Steve McKinney is lazy. Yeah,
where
and
are my
what
fries?
Are you
going to
use? Or yeah, do you have robots flipping burgers instead of humans? Like. He would go all in with a lot of different things. Yeah. Where's my fries? Yeah, don't forget my fries, or I'll try to shut your restaurants down.
Yeah. Call the health inspector. All these things. I don't know if I'm things. Supposed to interject that stuff. I'm just a little unsure.
Usually, it's well, you usually bookend it.
Yeah. John is always good for a few digs, you know, but it's always good fun. I miss being on the show with you guys, man. That was a lot of fun back in the day.
Well, come back and play center, and we can get you on and give you your own show again. I mean, the Texans had a center in the middle of the year.
I saw there was like a 40-year-old still playing with the 49ers or somebody on the offensive line. I was like, what the? How is he doing that, man?
Jason Peters did with the Cowboys, and then you have you had a player. How about another 40-year-old shut it down today? Tom Brady. I mean, that guy
retire?
Outlasted you by a lot. Yeah, he retired this morning. He just made the announcement on Twitter, like,
oh, man,
did
crazy.
A video,
you know,
like, I used up all my stuff last year. I can't come back now.
I don't blame him. You know, I played against him in his very first start, and when I was in Indianapolis, we played the Patriots the game after Bledsoe got hurt. And I remember sitting in the hotel room the night before the game, and I didn't know who Tom Brady was, never even heard the name. And I was watching the local news, and they were doing an interview with him, and he had his little Payne Stewart hat on. And I was like, oh, we're going to kill these guys. This guy's got no chance, you know. And they just lit us up like 44-13 or something. And I was like, who the heck is this guy? And here we are, you know, 20 years later, guy's won like 7 Super Bowls, man. Unbelievable career.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Well, Steve, we appreciate you jumping on and giving us some perspective on D'Amico Ryans. Get back to your McDonald's and keep making that money. Yeah. And bring us some fries and burgers.
Get
at
back
some
to
point.
The fryer.
Actually, McGriddles is what I like
in the
morning.
Get me a McGriddle. Where are my pancakes and eggs? All the things.
Yeah.
Am I done?
Everything John's supposed to say. Yeah, you're good.
Okay,
you're good. You
cool.
got it in.
Cool.
Yeah, you got it in.
I'll take care of you guys next time. Promise.
All right. You got it. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
That's Steve McKinney, Inside Skinny with Steve McKinney, right there on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, our old buddy. When we come back, we'll get deeper into a little more D'Amico Ryans. I do want to hit on the Sean Payton thing as well, because Sean Payton's got a new spot. And, man, Denver is desperate because they gave up 3 picks for Sean Payton. We'll tell you about that coming up in a second. But Steve McKinney is former Houston Texan. We appreciate him on the show. John Daspit is a current lawyer. John Daspit is involved in NIL stuff. I saw DeMarvion Overshown. John Daspit did an NIL deal with him, and I talked to him a little bit about it. The office linebacker. It's really cool. Great photo shoot. Some awesome things. I think it's going to start showing up on billboards around Austin. But John Daspit is somebody who has been very instrumental in getting some things done here in the Houston area and the community, especially where he went to school in high school. He's from here. He's a huge sports fan. Listens to the show every day, every segment. We'll text about Astros and Rockets and Texan stuff. Big sports fan, but also really good lawyer. And he passionately pursues justice for the injured on a daily basis. He's working to help you if you've been injured through no fault of your own, through someone else's negligence. What's going to happen is, you know, the insurance company will contact you and they're going to try to lowball you on your offer. And hopefully it covers your medical bills. Hopefully it covers your damaged car, for example. Hopefully everything gets taken care of, but in most cases it won't. And that's why you need somebody like John Daspit to make sure that, hey, this wasn't your fault. You should not have to pay for a penny of everything, and you should get compensated for your pain and suffering. Just because someone else did something stupid and you're injured, you know, that wasn't your fault, and you shouldn't be held responsible for everything that goes with it. And that's why John Daspit is here for you. And a lot of times it's very serious injuries and very serious accidents that he's fighting for, including the big Astroworld concert disaster. He's got a lot of people he's representing there as well. John Daspit from Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or go to the website daspitlaw.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.